I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Whose eyes are watching us now? Anyone? If it's not the eyes of Adam Gase, which still make me laugh. I still can't figure it out. I'm still laughing every time I see the videos and the memes and the photos. In fact, I was telling everyone, even the members of my family that don't necessarily follow sports, I told them on Tuesday, Google Adam Gase eyes and see what happens. So I feel like no one else ogled us on Tuesday unless I missed it. But man, it was the top story in sports. How awkward and weird and disconcerting and alarming Adam Gase appeared at his initial Jets press conference. And honestly, throw in the mix with the eyes of Adam Gase, Jerry Rice calling Antonio Brown a complete team player, Tom Brady pulling the everyone thinks we suck card, and then Freddie Kitchens telling you what colors you have to wear if you want to matter. And we were somehow stuck in the Twilight Zone. Do, 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 do. I don't know if we're still there or not. I'm still trying to figure it out. I do know it was some kind of high-octane night in the NBA. Maybe the Twilight Zone has something to do with that, too. Ooh. And I also know that the Eagles are doubling down on their quarterbacks. Jerry Jones swears he's not irritated. And how bad was Cam Newton's shoulder exactly? The owner of the Panthers weighs in, and he is not holding back. Actually tells you how many games the Panthers might have won if not for Cam's shoulder. Yikes. It's another edition of The Hump Show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you haven't yet voted for the TD of the week from Divisional Weekend, well, that poll is still live on Twitter and Facebook as well. And we'll reveal your choice coming up a little bit later in the show. And we'll also have Ask Amy Anything, as we always do. It might be a new year. We need some new questions. Same old Ask Amy Anything, one of our Hump Show staples. So either on our show Twitter or our Facebook page, or if you want to call in with your questions, we'll do that a couple of hours from now. At the top of next hour, where would Kyler Murray go in the NFL draft if, in fact, he decided to stick with it and to play football? Where would he end up? It seems like the perfect opportunity, because there aren't a lot of high-profile quarterbacks like there were a year ago at this time coming out of college. Now, there are a lot of players who've declared early for the NFL draft. I think the last number I saw was 132, which would be a new record. Where is the draft class heavy? What positions could produce the most rookies in the NFL next year? Well, break down the early draft. We're talking about early. Now, I know college is done, but the NFL hasn't quite finished up. They're already into their analyses and that process of identifying needs for their teams, except for the ones that are still playing. Well, we haven't even gotten to the combine yet, but it'll be here very soon. It comes on the heels of Super Bowl and NFL honors and all of that jazz. And so we go from combine, well, Senior Bowl and the different all-star games to combine, to then the individual workouts, the schools holding workouts for their groups of players, and then moving forward into the draft, and then it starts all over again. I heard one coach say in his exit interview, He was talking about the excitement of looking forward to next season. NFL coach looking ahead to next season. And he said, we can't wait to get back here on April 15th. Yeah, it's not just tax day. It's the start of workouts for NFL teams. Now, some are voluntary, some are mandatory. But that's how quickly it comes up. Tuesday was January 15th. 3 months from now, we'll be back into football OTAs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Philadelphia 76ers haven't had Jimmy Butler very long. And Jimmy Butler wasn't a Timberwolf. He wasn't a wolf. He wasn't in Minnesota. He wasn't in Minnesota for very long. And yet the entire relationship seemed like it was cantankerous. Other than the fact that he had, I don't even know if it's present tense, he had a good relationship with Tom Thibodeau. I'm not sure what else there was. He was fierce, for sure. It's a guy who wears his heart on his sleeve. But he didn't even last two seasons in Minnesota. Actually, I guess it was two. Now let me think back. 2.5 seasons. So he didn't last 3 seasons in Minnesota. Right? Let's see. He was traded there 17. Oh, no. I was right the first time. Always go with your first answer. This is what happens when I start to second guess myself. Yes, he was traded before last season, was there for 1 year, and then, of course, wanted out after the 1 year. Before that, he was with Chicago, and obviously now with Philadelphia. So there was a lot of conversation about him facing his former team. I'm using my air quotations, your former team. I mean, there's already friction in Philadelphia. Pretty soon, that could be his former team. He's going to be one of those guys that has a string of former teams because he does not play nicely with others. Do you remember that book, Everything You Need to Know You Learned in Kindergarten? Yeah, I don't think he learned how to share or play nicely with others in kindergarten. I'll have to go back and remember the different lessons that came out of that book. Pretty basic. I'm not sure Jimmy Butler went to kindergarten. And so I chuckled a little bit at the idea of him facing his former team. And while maybe, there was a mini axe to grind, how big can that axe be, really, when you were barely there? They can't even miss him. He wasn't there long enough to be missed. And now, Thibodeau is gone, too. So other than, I guess, going against his former teammates, I'm not sure how much bad blood there is, unless the rumors are true about the, you know, the cheating and the girlfriend and all that stuff. But I have no firsthand knowledge or even secondhand knowledge. What I do know, whether or not there was bad blood, whether or not there was an extra motivation, there's no way it carried over to the rest of the 76ers, and yet they were on point against the Timberwolves on Tuesday night.
Back to Joel. They go back to Jimmy, left side three ball, and that's good. Jimmy Butler knocks down the three. The 7-3 by the Sixers. Cross-court skip by Embiid to Butler. Three ball, bucket. Jimmy Butler knocks out his second tray. Good poise there by Joel. Good cross-court skip. He picks up his third assist. Here's Gibson in. Here's Embiid going for the block, and he did get Taj Gibson. Nice play by Joel. Jimmy Butler to Chandler. And now the Sixers back out top to Embiid. Shooting a three from the top, and that's good. Right back at you. Joel Embiid over Carl Anthony Towns. Here's Joel. The shot for three, and good. Embiid now 4 triples in the game. Timeout Wolves. And this is a new franchise record for threes. Corey Brewer will add to the total, the 20th made three for the Sixers.
I guess it got to be old hat. The Philadelphia 76ers put 83 points on the board in the first half against the Timberwolves. Now, it was a high-scoring night in the NBA, but do you know the Miami Heat only put 86 total on the board? The entire game, 86 points. The Sixers had nearly that in the first half alone. And this was a, listen to this, this is crazy, 42-point drubbing of the 76ers against the Timberwolves. 42-point spread? Holy cow. So the Sixers end up with 149 points overall. Joel Embiid, 31 and 13. And Butler ends up with 19 against his kind of former team. But it had to feel good, I guess, if there are guys on that other side, or the other sideline, the guys you're looking at who were doubting you or felt like they might be better without you, or, oh, no, wait, it was you who wanted out.
I do want to beat those guys, but I want to beat every team. That's for sure. But like I said, a win at home is always good. By that large of a margin is great, too, because guys get rest.
I can't keep up with all of his various bitter, I'm trying to think about what to call it, grudges. He holds grudges, and I can't keep up with all of his grudges. He's got a fire here and a fire there and a fire over here, and at some point it just gets exhausting, and who could even remember? It's like watching an edition of, what was that old, we were talking about reality shows on last night's show. The old reality show that featured the group of, they were in OC, they were in Orange County, and it was, oh my gosh, it was The Hills. Yes, thank you. It's like you try to keep up with all the different grudges and all the different ties and all the reasons why this person doesn't like that person and this person is aligned with this person. Oh, but no, now they can't be friends anymore. Oh my gosh. It's exhausting to try to keep up with all the drama for Jimmy Butler. But it was a big win for the 76ers, that's sure. That's to be sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Warriors had been trying to get back to the top of the Western Conference for the better part of what, the last month-ish? I mean, this has not been a good first half of the season for them in terms of their consistency. So when you think about the kind of the peaks and valleys they've gone through, some because of injuries, some because of locker room outbursts, some because they've had different changes to their roster and you've had guys come and go. And so they, even though the Western Conference is all jumbled up, they've been looking up at teams like the Thunder, teams like the Nuggets. Even the Clippers, going back to the beginning of the season, were on top of the West for a while. Now, it's likely to change again, but because they're on a nice winning streak, they were challenging for the top of the West once again as they went into the Mile High City.
Durant back to the basket, feeds Thompson off the screen, jumper up, jumper good. Another three ball for Klay Thompson. Warriors lead by 9. Durant takes a jumper, that's a 3. That's good for KD. The Warriors are red hot right now. 5 of 7 from distance, and they lead 20-9. Curry pump fake, flyby, 3 ball, left wing. Yes, Curry hits one. 46 in the first quarter for the Warriors, who are 9 of 13 from distance. Durant takes it in stride down the right side. 5 seconds, crossover dribble to the rim. Coast to coast with a dunk. 51-35.
So while the Sixers put up 83 points in the first half against the Timberwolves, the Warriors put up 51 in the opening quarter of their game in Denver. That's an NBA record, by the way. The last time a team put up 50 in the first quarter was back to 1990. The Phoenix Suns, that was when the Phoenix Suns were good. So back in 1990, they had a 50-point quarter, and there were a couple of other teams that shared that record, but that was the last time it happened. First time in NBA history a team has ever scored 51 in the opening quarter of a game, and the Warriors did it. They made 10 triples alone in the first quarter, 21 of them in the game, which, by the way, is the same number of threes that Philly hit against the Wolves. And so here you go. You have these two teams setting the pace on Tuesday night in the NBA. So again, Philly had 149. Golden State finished up with 142. Atlanta, what? I didn't even know Atlanta was capable of scoring 140, but they did. They have the same number, 142. The Pacers with 131 points. Do you know that the Thunder scored 126 and lost? Roger Goodell, eat your heart out. This is what sports is turning into, where defense is no longer given a level playing field. And people talk about it all the time in the NFL, where it's obvious. The NFL is the sport that we watch more than any other here in the United States. And with the way the rules changes have gone, it facilitates space and movement and room to operate. There's a lot more of an advantage given to the offense, running routes, and obviously not being able to hit the quarterback the way that you used to. It's still a contact sport. In the NBA, I kind of feel like it's not anymore. It used to be a sport in which you could battle, but it's not that way anymore. Same thing, no hand checking. Any little contact is called a foul. Why? Because they want space and they want freedom and they want room to move. They want offense. That's the way sports are going. All of them, except for soccer. They want offense. And they're getting it on this particular night in the NBA where three teams go over the mark, over the 140 mark, and a losing team scores 126. Two different teams have 21 made three-pointers. That's insane. Steph and Klay both finish with 31, and the Warriors take over first place in the West. I like what Kevin Durant had to say. He can be a bit of a punk, but he does tell it like it is. He was asked about the Warriors making a statement against Denver, and he said, no need. They know who we are. Yep, I think they do. All right, you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you haven't yet, cast your vote for TD of the Week. We've got one from each of the winning teams over divisional weekend. In addition, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And both Dave and Chris are participants in the latest edition of A-Law's Pre-Law. No pre-law for A-Law, whatever. A-Law doesn't need to be in there. It's just pre-law. And they reflect on what they felt like was the most important thing to come out of Adam Gase's eyes. There were no tears. If there had been tears, then I probably would have felt bad, but there weren't. There were just these stares. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
40 minutes from now, what does it mean to have Kyler Murray entered into the NFL draft? What are his prospects moving forward? Height isn't one of those qualifications that automatically eliminates you from being a stellar player in sports. We know that there are a lot of shorter athletes who, because of their athleticism, because of their explosiveness, because of their lower center of gravity, they're able to have extended careers. Darren Sproles comes to mind. And there are shorter quarterbacks. There are QBs in the NFL that are below 6 foot, who are, you know, my height. However, Kyler Murray is not just my height. He's actually shorter than me. He's 5'9". And so what are the strengths, the weaknesses of Kyler Murray, and how could this particular draft shape up where he's got an even tougher decision to make, football versus baseball? Dane Brugler, we love to have him on the show. He's now with The Athletic as an NFL draft analyst. He works on The Beast, which is his annual book that he puts together on every prospect. And he'll join us at the top of the next hour. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Let's talk to Gerald, who's in Houston. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Ms. Lawrence. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
You know, I'm listening to you speak of especially football and basketball.
Yes, I can hear me in the background.
I'm not planning on coming on so quickly. It's just that it seems it's more like pickup games now. You shoot the three, the other team gets the rebound, they shoot the three. You get the rebound, they shoot the three. And now we have football that's like flag football now. It reminds me of softball in the late 70s and early 80s. Everyone played, then all of a sudden people with money bought super teams and the sport died. Yeah, I mean, they play 7-on-7 during the summer here in Texas. And those players go on to college and play that type of offense. So I just don't see where the sport is going to change. And since a generation is 20 years, a generation from now will not look at football the way I'm looking at football and basketball the way I grew up. And thank you, Ms. Lawrence, and I'll hang up and listen to you speak on that, okay?
All right, thanks, Gerald. I appreciate your phone call. I mean, this is exactly what the leagues want, and there's one major reason why they want an offensive advantage, and we're talking about any sport. It's because points and scoring bring more interest and boost the Q rating, and the casual fans will be drawn in by the excitement, the highlight reel plays, those individual feats of strength. I haven't quite finished working on my weekly column, which is going to be more of a preview for conference championship weekend. I'm looking at what's different from the last time the Chiefs and Patriots faced off in week 6, and what's different from when we saw the Saints and the Rams in week 9. But just in general, those two games, along with the week 11 matchup between Los Angeles and Kansas City, high scoring games, tons of yardage, and massive ratings. I mean, we love to watch Pat Mahomes throw 50 touchdown passes. We love to watch wide receivers with 12 catches and 150 plus yards and a couple of touchdowns. We like to watch the plays that go 40, 50 yards downfield. That's the kind of action that we gobble up, that we want more of. The NFL knows that, and the NBA knows that we're dazzled by James Harden, by Steph Curry, by Kevin Durant. Not because they're great defensive players, but because they can score. And if you give them an opportunity and an atmosphere, a platform where they can score nearly at will, well, then that's going to attract even more fans. And if they like the product the first or second time they tune in, well, they're going to keep coming back. The problem is the average margin of victory on Tuesday night was 28 points. Those are blowouts. So I guess if you're going to have blowouts and you're going to have a bunch of competition that's better than its opponents, and this is one night, one sample size in the NBA. But if you've got teams that can shoot the three, well, then that dazzles the fans and gives you the ability to pull away quickly, especially if you have more than one guy who can shoot the three and can do it well. This is all about increasing the fan base and increasing the earnings potential, seeing ratings go up. It's high octane, it's high flying, it's entertaining. It's more like an all-star game in some cases. And I would agree with Gerald. I get tired of watching nothing but three-pointers. I miss the days of back-to-the-basket big men. I miss the days of half-court sets. Now, Kevin Durant says they want to go inside out. They want to work the ball inside out. They do pass. They have a beautiful brand of basketball. In fact, that's what Steve Kerr called it. But at times it feels like there are more three-pointers than there are layups or shots taken inside the paint, by far. Maybe 2-1 even. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. But if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can post those to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Coming up, I can take more of your calls for sure. But the Philadelphia Eagles, they've answered all the questions definitively. We don't yet know the future of Nick Foles, but we certainly know what they're doing at quarterback. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Durant up court, takes one by the Pepsi center side and nailed it. Ridiculous. Durant running the floor, catches right side, cross court to Thompson, fires away, three ball, good. Dever jogging back, and the Warriors took advantage, and they lead by a count of 17-7. Klay Thompson has 11 points.
Beautiful basketball. I just like the way our guys move the ball. A lot of shot fakes, playing with purpose, playing with a simple style of execution, but aggressive at the same time. And that was as good as it gets tonight for us.
We were just very purposeful about how we were creating shots. Everybody kind of staying within themselves, but shooting with confidence, and everybody got touches, which was nice, using their aggressiveness against them. And obviously, you got to make shots. We're a talented team, and when we do that, tough to beat.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Kerr says that's as good as it gets, as good as we can play. And Steph Curry talks about everybody getting touches. And before the game against the Nuggets in Denver, he said we've got to come out hot, because one of the things that the Denver Nuggets do well is to start hot and then keep a lead. They protect their leads very well. And so the Warriors did exactly what they wanted to and set an NBA record in the process. 51 points in the first quarter alone. This was some kind of night in the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know, the Atlanta Hawks have exactly 14 wins, the 14th coming on Tuesday night, and yet they had 45 points in two separate quarters on Tuesday night. How about that? The Warriors set a record, and nobody's surprised by the Warriors setting offensive records of any sort these days in the NBA. But the NBA and NFL crossovers? The Atlanta Hawks had 45 points in the second quarter against the Thunder, and then again in the fourth quarter. But listen to this scoring line. This is the Hawks against the Thunder. 25 in the first quarter, 45 in the second quarter, 27 in the third quarter, 45 in the fourth quarter.
Take that for data.
How weird is that? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This was a pretty sweet performance for the Warriors, and they take over first place in the Western Conference. Don't know if they'll stay there, but I do know this is a team, as much as people might doubt, you look at their personnel, you look at the questions about the future, about Kevin Durant, is he staying, is he leaving, about Klay Thompson, is he staying, is he leaving. One thing brings these guys together. They can't stand losing, and they want to have this legacy. However long it lasts, these guys are committed to being the best. Their egos need it. And so here they are back on the top of the West anyway. Don't know whether or not they'll end up winning the championship, but certainly we've got some other teams that are rising up to contend. Let's talk to Dwayne in Houston. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hello?
Dwayne.
Yes, ma'am.
You're up, ma'am, sir.
I have been a unfortunate fan of the Rockets all the way back to the days when Rudy Tomjanovich ran down the court and got belted and broke his entire face when Kermit Washington hit him back in that time. But we have had limited success up until now. And even now, I don't even believe what James Harden is doing. But right now, nobody has ever done what he's doing now. And it even scares me, because I don't even like it, because I don't want him to disappoint me again.
What, you don't like it?
What's happening? Nobody has ever averaged what he's doing right now, ever. Never happened.
And you don't like it?
I don't like it, because I've been disappointed before every time.
I gotcha. So you prefer that they just stink all the way through the year so that you don't get your hopes up?
Actually, I don't prefer they stink, but you know what is going to happen? When CP3 comes back, it's going to take the discontinuity back from the team right now. And James Harden is not just the offensive guy. He is attacking defenses, and I've never seen him do that before, ever.
Okay, but I would come back to this every time in the NBA, especially when you're talking about facing a team like the Warriors, which has many ways they can beat you. If you're only going to rely on James Harden, that's been tried and it's failed. LeBron James, he could get his teams as far as the NBA Finals, but he couldn't win on his own. The Oklahoma City Thunder had, you know, an unbelievable run with Russell Westbrook. He also put up the type of numbers that no one had ever seen before, averaging a triple-double over the course of a season. Did that work out with a championship? No. Last year, James Harden was the MVP, but they could only go as far as Game 7 of the West because they got, you know, their other backcourt mate hurt in Chris Paul. So it can win, and it can benefit you in the regular season. But one guy going where no one has ever gone before in an NBA basketball court cannot win you a title. It doesn't work that way.
The thing that hurt worse than anything else is when they were down 20 points and James Harden came back and he destroyed the Golden State Warriors and he won the game.
But I got you, but that's the regular season, Dwayne. It doesn't work in a 7-game series and it doesn't work when it comes to a championship.
I know. I hear what you're saying. You're so right.
So, I mean, this is awesome for James. And if he wins back-to-back MVPs, that's great. But legacies are made and they're destroyed in the playoffs. And while I'm not sure how long you have been a Rockets fan, they obviously had back-to-back championships in 94 and 95. It's been a while. And this particular group that they put together is all about attempting to unseat the Golden State Warriors. And last year, they got really close, but they need to have more than just one guy. They're going to need everybody to get healthy, like Chris Paul, like Clint Capella. They're going to need that full complement of guys so that they can challenge the Warriors at every position, not just with James Harden.
I was a fan back when he used to wear shorts when Rudy Samjanovich was a rookie. That's scary. I know.
So then you can't say they've had no success because they did win two titles.
Yes, but now the success they have is going to be flat again. It's not going to work.
Well, it could if they're a complete team. And that's the idea, is the Warriors have set this incredible standard and everybody else has to rise to it. It's like the New England Patriots in the NFL. It's like Alabama football in college. It's even Tiger Woods, if you go back to his heyday in golf. It's UConn women's basketball. It's one team raising the bar so high that it forces everybody else to exceed their own expectations and to find ways to break outside the box and to do things differently, because otherwise you won't be able to compete at that level.
So many different nights I hate you.
It's good to know.
Because you speak the truth.
You hate me for speaking the truth.
You speak the truth. Yeah. I admire you, and I listen to you every single effing night. I do.
Well,
I get that.
You're addicted. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your phone call. Dwayne, listening in Houston. There are so many nights when I hate you. At least he had the guts to admit it on the phone and not send me a tweet. Wait, what discussion are you two having in there? You look very concerned about something.
Language.
Oh, effing is not allowed on the air? I'm pretty sure I've said it on the air before.
That's what we were discussing.
Oh, did you dump it?
No.
Well, yeah, I mean, he didn't. I promise you that's not a word that's outlawed by the FCC. I've actually said it on the air before, though I shouldn't. I'm not a big fan of saying it. The fact that he was talking about how much he hates me was kind of funny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up after the update, top of the hour, Dane Brugler of The Athletic will join us to answer some of the Kyler Murray questions. How does he rate as a first-round quarterback, and what other QBs are out there could be available to teams? And I think, interestingly enough, this draft is completely the different flavor from a year ago when it was all about the quarterbacks. I actually, for a recent column, went through all the teams in the NFL to try to figure out who might need quarterbacks, who might be dumping quarterbacks, and where teams might be drafting. Now, this is before any type of trades take place, but where teams might be drafting who need quarterbacks. And this is kind of what I came up with. We don't know about the New York Giants, but they pick number 6. Eli is signed through 2019, but could they restructure his deal? Do they want to draft their next guy and have him learn under Eli? The Jaguars draft number 7. You know what's crazy about the Jaguars? Their offensive coordinator, who got fired. Now, this is the guy who went back and forth between Blake Bortles and any other option that the Jaguars might have at quarterback. Gosh. So, is it Nathan Hackett? Nathaniel Hackett got fired by the Jaguars after working as their offensive coordinator, and now he's going to the Packers. It's all about who you know a lot of times in sports. And so Matt LaFleur gets hired as the new Packers coach. He came from the Titans, which is in the AFC South, and he's hiring along with him Nathaniel Hackett from Jacksonville, where Hackett spent 4 seasons. And so this is just weird, right? Talk about a job upgrade, though maybe at the time you got fired, you weren't sure this was even a possibility. He was let go in late November, right after Thanksgiving. He thought he was being called in to talk about a quarterback change. And instead, he got called in because the team was letting him go. So he goes from fired Jaguars offensive coordinator, and I'm not sure there is a team out there. If I asked you who had the worst offense in the NFL, maybe you could come up with a couple of other teams to rival the Jags, like the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals. But he goes from that offense to the Green Bay Packers and serving as Matt LaFleur's OC, although LaFleur is the one who's going to call plays. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jaguars pick 7th in the draft. The Bengals, they do have Andy Dalton under contract through 2020. Could they be looking for the next QB? The Dolphins pick 13th. We don't know yet what's going to happen there with Ryan Tannehill. I guess I should mention the Broncos, too, at number 10. The Redskins pick 15th. So we'll talk to Dane Brugler coming up after the top of the hour. As for the Eagles, they would love to keep Nick Foles, but he is not going to be their number one QB. They have doubled down on Carson Wentz. Regardless of the injuries, they are still fully and completely committed to Carson Wentz.
It's my quarterback.
So would you rather have a Nick Foles at what would be a salary commensurate with a starting QB? I don't think he's going to command $30 million, but hell, Jimmy Garoppolo is making 27 and a half. Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP. You better sure be paying him at least that. Would you rather have Nick Foles or would you rather go the way of the draft? I kind of feel like Nick Foles is the better option, but that's just me. Though the draft choices are cheap. Dane Brugler's next. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.